Welcome to our new series, Stories of Faith, where you're going to hear stories to help encourage, boost, and rebuild your faith. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Adia Talks podcast. My name is Mo Adia. I am your host on this podcast, where we are all about helping you be the best version of yourself and live your life as God intended. We have yet another great episode today, so I want you to stay tuned, grab a notebook, a pen, a drink, and let us chat about what is on the agenda today. Welcome to this episode of the Adia Talks podcast. This is a very different or slightly different episode to what we normally do because we have a new series we're kicking off that we've kicked off already. So this is another one in our series, and it's on stories of faith. And really, as I've mentioned before, this is just, I just felt inclined to really share stories of faith to encourage people and just have testimonies to really encourage people, to remind people that God is still there, to believe him, and just share some mind-blowing testimonies with you, which will help, you know, anchor you even more in him. Or if you're not anchored, get anchored in whatever way you need to. So I have with me a guest today. Her name is Tito Idakula, right? Did I pronounce that properly?
Tito Idakula. Honestly, I'm not
pronouncing
sure
it like I've lived
right.
abroad.
I don't even know
for
if I pronounce you right as well.
So we have Tito on today. And Tito is an amazing lady, in my opinion. I'm super proud of her.
Yay.
Probably doesn't know this. I'm super proud of her. And I've known Tito for quite a while, actually.
Yes.
Years and years ago.
Yes.
And Tito is a couple of hours ago, I was looking at a post from somebody that we both went to school with, and they were talking about our school. They were talking about our founder. And how he built a school. He built two schools for people who could afford to pay for school, and then for the community, for poor people, for poor, less privileged people there. She was just talking about that. I was like, oh wow, that's actually true. And I was like, wow. And I thought, oh, I'm talking to Tito today. So I know Tito from school, but let me let you introduce yourself first, and then we can go into it.
Okay, so my name is Tito Idakula. I'm a writer. I call myself a storyteller. So I'm always telling a story or the other. I either do that by writing or by, doing videos or any way I can. I just want to tell a story. And the bottom line of my stories is always just back to God, back to how amazing God is, his grace, his love, his mercy. That's really always where my stories where they end up. So I call myself a storyteller. I'm a writer. I'm a content creator. I'm also a counselor. So I also do counsel people. And then I'm a mom of three babies. And I am married to a musician. So yeah, that's my life, really. I think I've summed it up.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That's incredible. And as I said, I've known Tito for a number of years. So we both went to school together. Back in secondary school together. It was boarding school. It was a great experience.
Mo, you're not even my mate, right? So is it so surreal that we're having this conversation? Because you're like, well, not years, but a couple years ahead of me or three, if I remember.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. Like, we're back here and I'm still like, oh, wait.
senior. So that was like our first when I met Tito. So we were in same school, and then I think a few years down the line, ended up in the same church. So we were both in same school back in Nigeria, and then we ended up in the same church in London, and now we are like kind of
same place
in the same.
And we're both doing the same thing now.
Exactly. So we're both involved in a ministry where we're doing a lot of training, and we serve in some different capacities and all of that. So that's actually quite interesting. So yeah. I don't know where we'll
end up in another 5 years.
Exactly. Exactly. But Tito, as she said, she's a content creator, she's a writer, she's a counselor, she's so many things. But the wonderful thing is, I remember a few years ago, I was doing something. So she's married to a musician. I'm also a musician, as much as I love to be. But she's married to somebody who's a musician, a big musician. A big musician in that sense. But I had something, and it was a musicians gathering, or it was a musical gathering rather, and Kaline was there, and I don't know how your name came up or something. I was like, oh yeah, I went to school together. She's like, oh, Tito's one of my most favorite people. I was like, oh, that's
I love Kaline. She's amazing.
Anyway, so Tito has amazing stories, and she's got so much content out there, and she's got a book. She's got
I do have a book. I forgot to say that in my intro. Oops. And I have a talk show, My Jesus Experience. What is wrong with me?
Exactly. You have. I'll call it. I know you recently had a baby. There's a lot going on, but I'll help you where I can. So she has a book. She has a talk show. She has a foundation, which we'll talk about, she has a number of things really to help people. But what I love about everything is you're so real with sharing your experiences of faith. And even I think looking at some of your talk show, how you talked about your journey and how people have helped you along the way, but how you've had to change your mindset and things you've deliberately done, with experiences to sort of change that for you. So maybe if we draw on some key, because there's so much to tell with you. You have some gems of wisdom and so much experience. But I just want to draw out for people, because thinking about this year, 2020, it's been interesting, for want of a better word. I feel like a lot of people's cars are, the analogy God gave me was their cars are not moving. A car is not moving, has been parked somewhere for ages. So the battery's flat, it's not moving. And, we just need to reignite people again, and faith is, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God, hearing God's testimonies, hearing what he's done, So what are some key things you would say in your journey, where maybe you found yourself in a place where your faith was low and, you had to do something to change that?
Okay. I think even just as you said, I think 2020 has been one of those years where honestly it's just like a complete faith journey. Because as I said, my husband is a musician, so normally he would do gigs, right, and all of that. But with COVID, he hasn't even really been able to do that. So you get to a point where you see your savings running out and everything. But and then you're looking at God like, something has to happen here, because there are bills, and there are three kids, and I'm pregnant with baby three, which I didn't even think I wanted. And I just had, I think for me, even though maybe I'll be more specific as we speak, the whole year has been a year of faith. It's been a year of, okay, you see your account going empty, and then you see it refilling in the most random ways. So, I remember at the beginning of this year, I had said, was it this year? Yeah, before COVID happened, or towards the end of last year, I had said a few things I wanted to do to earn my own income, because at some point in my life, God had told me to leave my job. And this was 6 years ago. And that was really difficult. In fact, let me talk about that. It was really difficult because I was working in the bank. I was doing well. I was on my way to management, doing all of this stuff. And then God says, leave the job. I'm thinking, okay.
Wow.
I leave the job and I find out I'm pregnant. And I'm really pissed, right? Because I'm thinking, I can't not have a job. I'm pregnant. What's going to happen? How are we going to take care of these kids? For some crazy reason as well, my husband's career was on a trajectory. And that during the season when I was pregnant, it was like everything just kind of slowed down. So even financially, it was just a struggle. And it's annoying because faith, sometimes I feel like it's a lot of times we alluded to maybe financial struggles or health, but it's a lifestyle. But anyway, that's a conversation for later. So it was just broke, pregnant, trying to just survived, got told me to leave my job, what am I going to do? And every time I needed money, I'd just look at my and look at like my old offer letter and thank God I could have earned so much amount of money now. What's your plan? And
yeah,
I think that was really the moment when maybe I started to look like beyond your daily living. What else does God have to say to you? So I think a lot of what I do now were birthed in that season. And then the unfortunate part, well, not unfortunate, but what happened was that after being pregnant for all this time, then the baby that I thought, okay, I'm going to have a baby, at least I'm going to be busy with that, the baby dies.
Mm.
And so it was a very difficult time for me, you know, faith-wise, because I'm looking at God with side eye, like, guy,
what's up?
This is not how we planned it. This is not what you said. I, you know, you're even giving me a name for the baby that meant increase. And I'm thinking, well, this is definitely not increasing anything in my life. I've struggled enough this year and I don't need this. So it was probably one of the most difficult times for me. But if anything, it was also probably the time I started a whole new journey, right? Because I needed faith for provision on a regular.
Yeah.
Also, when I was pregnant, like towards the end of my pregnancy, we found out the baby had like a congenital issue, and it was like, oh, she's not going to make it. And I started praying. And I thought I had faith, but the baby still died. And I've learned a lot about faith since then, so I'm not even going to go into that. But I realized that in this life that we live, everything is a faith journey. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no part of it that is you apply faith only here. Even when you sleep and you wake up, waking up, being sure that you're going to wake up in the morning is a faith journey, because you wake up, you sleep, and your body is sleeping, but your soul, your spirit, you're somewhere else dreaming. You've gone to America, you've gone to this. The only guarantee that you come back into your body and you wake up in the morning is God's grace. Like, that alone is a faith thing. You know, the fact that you open your eyes in the morning, everything is just, your life is a life of faith. But for me, I had to learn that, like, after the baby died, you know, after all of that, I was really in a difficult place where I had to ask God, okay, what's this thing? What's the point? You know, and over the past six years now, he's shown that it's a daily walk of faith with him. And I'm learning every day. And I don't think there's always the new level where you think you've cracked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else happens. They're like, oh,
yep.
Okay, another faith exercise. Great. I need to still apply my faith to this.
Honestly.
And it's just, I'm done. I get it. I don't need another exercise.
The last one.
Yeah, I thought I passed. When do I graduate? You know, but I'm also learning that God doesn't do things so, you know, it trips you up so that you can show you have faith. It's just, that's just the life we live. So, yeah. When you talk about what times have I really needed my faith, I think it's every day. But there are some things that, like the loss of the baby was a difficult one for me. Even being pregnant during COVID was difficult for me. Financially as well, it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah.
And so it's been a daily faith walk, literally. And I think this year especially has been like that. But it's interesting that I think because of everything that's happened over the years, I don't find it as challenging to have faith as I used to, because I've gone to know God. I've gone to understand his who he is. You know, I'm going to understand his love.
Mm.
And so because I know that love, I know that everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Unlike before, where I would panic and I'll be afraid.
Yeah. You're right.
It's a
yeah, you're right. The foundation really is God's love. And I find that it's difficult for us to receive just in our minds and in our sort of human sense.
Because
every day you're faced with, especially if you were, I mean, you know, you worked in a bank and you work, you know, I don't like to call something secular, but, you know, you work in environments where it's like you're trained to think things through very well.
You're trained
to be like 1 + 1 = 2, like
if
it's not, you have to like prove it, and you know what I mean. So you're really retrained rigorously, and then your mind when it comes to things of faith, I mean, the thing about it is things of faith have to be all what your life is about, but when you have to then apply that, you have to actually literally untrain your mind from
Yeah.
To be like, you know, and then the God's love factor of it is that we just thinking about it, you're thinking, but I've done this, but this, how can you possibly, okay, yes, you love me, but you know, when we say God loves us in such a, you know, big degree, you're now trying to think, but how can that be? How can you possibly love me so much that, you know, this?
Yeah.
you know, and that's often, I think, difficult for people to receive. I remind people who are listening that, you know, we love him because, you know, he first loved us. So just as you receive his love, you know, you then begin to love him, and it just becomes a beautiful, loving relationship. So what are some practicals? I want to draw out, like, to the, you know, what led you to set up the, you know, the foundation you did. But before we get onto that, you touched on, like, 2020, you know, your husband's a musician, so things have obviously, the gigs and you know, gatherings are not happening right now. You know, you've got three kids now. You just literally had your last one a couple of months or so ago. You know, and I guess just all the factors, like, there's so many life events that are, you know, within that. And I've obviously got two younger kids as well. What are the practical things you sort of have done day to day to sort of keep your faith alive and keep going?
Okay, so the thing is, you know, as I said, because of everything that's happened over the past how many years from that initial loss, I think I'd had to know God. And so even speaking about, like, my two-month-old baby, right? After I'd lost the first baby and it was a girl, I'd had two boys after. And I was like, okay, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need any more babies. You know, I can afford to take care of two kids. Which is also another thing. We base our lives on our own assumptions and limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this ministry we are put a part of, I go to vigil one night and I'm there just praising God, loving him, thankful, my two boys. I just want to be a nice place. I'm really happy. And somebody comes to me and goes, oh, God is giving you a baby girl. Exactly. I'm like, no. She was so upset because, you know, she had been doing all this prophetic training, and so part of it
was like, I'm trained,
right?
You don't know, so
she was a bit nervous to tell me this. And then imagine, she tells me, I'm sure despite all her nerves, and I'm going, and I literally burst into laughter, and I'm like, no, thanks. I don't want any. I don't want a baby. And she goes, oh, okay.
Aww.
And I could see the look on her face, and I'm just like, well, whatever. I don't want another child. No, thanks. And I really also thought, oh, maybe she just thinks I would like a girl because, you know, I lost a girl before and I had two boys. So everybody thinks, oh, you want another girl. I'm like, no, I'm good. I love my boys. I don't want. So I said no. The next morning, like maybe 6 a.m., somebody calls my husband up, one of his mentors from another state in Nigeria, and goes, oh, you guys, God is talking about giving you guys a girl. When are you going to be ready for this girl? Because he's talking about it. He wants to give you a girl.
Wow.
And literally, we freaked out because, like, we know that this woman and the other lady don't know each other from anywhere. So they couldn't at least have planned it.
Wow.
So that's when we're good. We don't want a girl. The woman's like, no, you'll be disobedient because God is saying you have to have this girl.
Mm.
And of course, that means, oh, you have to not take away all your protection, everything, that you're like, I'm not having more kids, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God. And then I started having dreams as well, seeing myself and my daughter and all of that. So my husband, I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's just open ourselves up to this. So we tried, got pregnant almost immediately. COVID had not really started, right? This was towards the end of last year.
Okay.
No problem. Then at some point, I just told my husband, oh, no matter what, I'm having this baby in Nigeria. I didn't know that COVID was going to happen and, you know, keep everybody locked in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I just said, I'm having a baby in Nigeria. And then what happens? The next thing, the doctor, I go for the first scan. I don't go for scans early. I don't go to the hospital. I'm like almost 12 weeks on, right? Because okay. I leave the baby in God's hands. He said he wants to give you the baby. He's going to take care of the baby until I'm ready to go. So I go to the hospital at 12 weeks and the doctor goes, oh, this baby is a boy. I'm thinking, huh? What do you mean a boy? Like, that was not the deal. Exactly. I'm like, nope, it's not a boy. I'm sure. And the doctor was like, no, I'm never wrong. You know, I've been doing this for a lot of years. I'm hardly ever wrong. I'm like, well, hopefully you'll be wrong this time. But I won't lie, it kind of affected me a little bit because I'm thinking, God, what are you trying to do? Mm-hmm. Like, this was not the plan. Like, why is this so confusing? At this point, my husband was just like, I don't care what happens. It's a girl. We go back in 15 weeks. He does another scan and he goes, so what did I say the sex was last time? I said, oh, you said it was a boy.
Right.
I'm like, what is it now? He goes, oh, I'm not sure. I can't tell. I'm thinking, for somebody that was so sure the first time.
I don't make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't make mistakes. So I go in at 20 weeks and then he looks and goes, oh, actually, it's a girl. I'm like, you should pay me Because I wish you had like had a bet or something. Because what are the chances that from, oh, it's a boy, I'm so sure to, I'm not sure to, oh, it's a girl, just confirming what God has said from the very beginning. So that was even part of why we had another child. That was not our plan. And recently, my husband and I were talking about how one of the reasons why you say you don't want another child is because I never enjoyed pregnancy the other times. So I was just like, I'm not gonna have this. I'm not gonna go through this again. That was a faith thing for me, even trusting God that okay, pregnancy won't be so bad. So pregnancy ended up being quite good. The labor and delivery for me was also another experience I never wanted to go through again. But this time around, my labor was so quick, so painless. By the time I got to the hospital, I was like just about to pop out the baby. I was like 8 centimeters gone. 30 minutes later, baby was out, barely any pain compared to all the other horrible experiences I felt I had had. You know, then let's talk about provision in COVID. We didn't know COVID was coming, but then COVID comes and I'm pregnant with the third baby and my husband can't do gigs. And, you know, I've never had like a regular job because I'm called more to ministry and to service and all of that. So what's going to happen? But guess what? It was crazy because God just starts talking. He first tells me, oh, you have to announce your pregnancy. I never announced my pregnancies because I've lost a baby before. I'm always just a bit careful. And like, no, this one, you're not hiding it. Announce this pregnancy. So I put it out there, I'm pregnant. People are like, oh wow, congratulations, blah blah blah. Then he goes, oh, do a baby list. I'm like, I've never done a baby list before. He's like, oh no, do one this time. And then put it up on your social media. Because social media is like one of my main avenues, right? For sharing what I do. Put it on social media. And so I put it on my profile. And the next thing, people are going on there to the list. And you know, I'd also put like an account number in case you don't want to give a gift. And people every day I was getting a gift for the baby. Every day I was getting a credit alert. Somebody was sending me money every single day, the entire time I was pregnant. Even up to now, I'm still getting it. Like people still just send me stuff. And even talking about it, I think I took it for granted, but it's incredible how all the things I was worried about that I was saying to God, like, I don't want a baby because it's expensive, you know, I won't enjoy pregnancy. Everything I was worried about was a non-issue. And it was a faith walk with God because it was showing me that, look, all things are passed away, right? Like everything can be new. And so every time I just had to take a new walk with him, a new walk. And so everything was just different. So okay, we don't have money, but my husband isn't doing as much gigs. But I think this baby probably has more than her brothers ever had. And I did not pay for it. Down to the hospital bill. The hospital even increased their fees, and it's one of the most expensive hospitals in Nigeria. And God had told me to go there. And I was thinking, okay, I never increase the fees. I'm like, oh, come on now. Like I was even saving, but now you gotta even add in more. What am I gonna do? But somehow, I think even the day she was born, people were just calling, oh, please send me an account number. I just want to send this to you. Like it was surreal. During the season. Then also I've always like advise people. People have always called me for advice, but I've never charged for counseling. It was in COVID that I started, that God was like, you know what, start charging people. So people were calling me, paying for me to counsel them. In COVID, I started like a new, like it became a new business for me in COVID season. I've always said that I wanted people to pay because I feel like I have an authentic following on social media. I always said I wanted people to pay for me as an inf for pay me to be an influencer on social media. During COVID, those jobs started coming. It was just like, what's going on here? Like everything that I'd always, you know, desired, everything happened. And so I just realized that this COVID thing was a non-issue. I might as well not be in COVID. And so when you talk about practical steps, I think for me, one thing I used to say every single day, and is when, you know, from what we know about the power of confession. And so I would just constantly confess. I'm like, every day is a good day for me. Every day I testify. I am fruitful. I multiply. I use the word of God. I testify. I confess over myself, over my husband. I declare he's fruitful. I declare the work of his hands are blessed. I declare that because of me, he's a blessed man. He finds favor because I am a good thing. Just everything God says, I just keep confessing it. And not like, apart from that, wow, you have to do it, you know, and send it. It's just a part of my life. Every day I wake up and say, oh, I wonder what somebody's sending to me today. And it could be as simple as, oh, Tito, I want to send you some fruits. Oh, I want to send you some cake. You know, anything like big things, small things. Oh, send me your account number. Every day I just continue to confess it. I just became expectant. Faith is expectant, right? You expect that there'll be results. You expect that as I trust God, as I know that God loves me, he's going to take care of everything I need, everything that like he's called me to have a baby. He didn't call me to have a baby to leave me hanging or to leave the baby hanging. it's called me to have a baby, so it's going to protect the baby. It's going to give me everything the baby needs, everything I need, not just the baby, me as well. Everything I need is in his hands. So the constant confession is not confessing for it to happen. It's confessing so you remind yourself.
Yes.
And they remind everything in the atmosphere that this is who I am. So when you're feeling fearful or doubtful, the more you're speaking, the more your mind is catching up with what you're saying,
yeah,
and then believing it, and then the more you're living that life. So for me, my confessions every day were so key. You know, was so key. It that's what battled my fears, my anxiety. Whenever they try to pop up, you know, oh, what about the hospital? What if you get COVID? What if you do this? What if you do that? Well, what if you don't? You know, so it was just one of those things where it was a daily thing of just reminding yourself God's word, meditating on it, fellowshipping. I honestly don't think you can have faith if you're just trying to do it by yourself. I think there's always important to plug in with a group of other believers.
Yeah.
And so you're always all talking, all, you know, like minds, speaking the same things, learning from each other. Cornerstone for me did that for me. Because we're always just sharing something. So it's better apply it. And then, of course, most important in prayer as well. But for me, I think one of the most important things for me was confessions, my confessions, my expectations.
Yeah.
And then just trusting God, trusting that he loves me. It's that simple. Trusting that he loves me, trusting that he will not leave me hanging, trusting that he will not, you know, forsake me. He loves me.
Mm.
I love my kids. I don't leave them. Before they're even asking me, I'm already thinking, well, what are they going to eat?
Mm.
You know? If they're injured, I'm like, oh, okay, let me fix that. You know, I love them. And then this is God.
Wow.
If you can believe God loves you, you can have faith in him.
I'm so gingered because I didn't know the entire story of the baby. And, you know, obviously, first, maybe I didn't know about, like, you know, the you know, not the first, you know, wanting or not expecting the baby, and then how you found out, and then the even that part where you said it was a boy, or the doctor said it was a boy rather, and you know, you then had this moment of like, because I can imagine you start questioning, did I hear God? Have I started questioning the other things that God told you? Yeah, and then you're like, what's going on? You know, and I think, you know, that often happens even on our journeys, right? You know, we know something. God has said, this is it for you. You come to agreement with it. You're like, yes, I'm ready to go. Then something might happen that may try to, like, deter the situation, you know, take it another way. But you have to keep holding on. And I find when you hold on, in those moments for me as well, when I hold on to what God said, I just go and it always manifests.
Yeah.
And I do that also by not also, I'm careful with who I share certain things with.
Yeah.
Not because I'm trying to be like, oh, I don't want you to know this or whatever. It's more, I'm actually doing it more for myself. I'm sharing with people who I know will agree with that end goal of what God said.
So they
keep me honest, keep me on track. So even the way your husband was like, I don't care, is a girl, you know, and
that
you guys held on to that. That is so incredible. There is so much you have said that is just wisdom, you know, and I think confessing the word of God, it is, as you said, it's reminding, it's also reminding yourself of God's word, you know, that catching up with the word God has already said, it's already gone out. He's declared it, it's written in the books of heaven about you. Right? But it's you coming into agreement with that and letting your mind come into agreement, and everything you do respond to that word. Because we also have things we do subconsciously. And, you know, if your mind hasn't agreed with the end goal, then your subconscious acts and your behavior is never going
to,
you know,
exactly.
It. So, gosh.
And I think even as you speak, I think the one thing is just developing that personal, authentic relationship with the Holy Spirit, where when he tells you to do something, you do.
Yes.
Because you know that he's telling you to do it out of love. He's not going to leave you. So as I said, oh God, you know, of course we had to have sex to have the baby, but this, you know, we were able to, like, okay, let's see what happens. So it's just that action of obedience is also a faith thing. Because there are things the Holy Spirit will tell you to do and you'll be like, oh, really?
Even but as you
the,
said,
on the other side, yeah.
Putting I meant to actually say this earlier. Sorry to cut you off. As you said, putting your baby list, you know, or you're announcing your baby, then the baby list and all of those things. That's just a simple step of obedience where you might feel like,
exactly,
I don't want to do that. But like, you didn't know what was behind the door. That's what I said. Again, so sometimes like the door, and you don't know what's behind it until you do.
Exactly. On the other side, there's always something for you. And, you know, these things, they're not for... I mean, God only uses us for, you know, to bless others. What I mean is that it's not like God needs you to do it for his own purpose. You're the one that will still probably be a beneficiary of whatever it is telling you. So not only is he going to tell you to do something that will bless others, it will still bless you. Right, so it's really still for your benefit. So if God is telling you to do something and then you're like, oh, I don't want to do it, oh, my feelings, my emotions, my pride, my shame, you're the one that's not gonna gain from it. Like, God doesn't lose it doesn't lose out if you don't do it. You're the one that would lose whatever could be the result of it. And also, even when I was pregnant, then he told me to start this support group for pregnant women, because I was struggling, you know, by myself. I didn't want to be pregnant anyway. And so I started this support group, and now we're like 500 women praying, you know, supporting each other. People that's have had babies.
That's can you want to tell us a bit more about that? So people who are listening, who are, you know, wanting to get pregnant or pregnant can join.
So it's called Pregnant and Free. So we're pregnant and free because, you know, a lot of people were struggling a lot mentally. And because, of course, I had the history of baby loss with all my other pregnancies, a part of it is still there, like, oh, what if something happens to this baby? And so I knew that it wasn't a journey to go on by myself. Mm. And I also knew that there will be other women that also were having the same fears, or other women that were just anxious about being pregnant generally, or just wanted support. So God says start this pregnancy support group. And so I do. And the next thing, women just keep joining. And it's so funny because I barely even see anything on the group now, but I just needed to create it.
But then
that's all I needed to do.
Community is so important.
Exactly. So there's pregnant and free. So people that are waiting to have a child, people that are pregnant now, they can join. And then when you have your baby, we also have mommy and free for like new moms and all of that. So that you're just not... There's so much in community. I don't believe, you know, anybody should live in isolation.
I agree. Yeah.
So yeah. A lot of things happened during COVID for me.
Yes. That is so wonderful because, you know, the story in the Bible that talks about the children of Israel being in Goshen. And, you know, in some ways, that's how I've seen this year where, stuff is happening outside. You know, I'm just like, I don't look outside anymore. I'm not interested.
Exactly.
You
know, it doesn't even matter. Outside.
You can actually, as a believer, dwell in Goshen. You know, there are all these things that, you know, they're saying this, they're saying that. You know, God has said certain things about, I'm careful who I listen to anyway. But, you know, yes, we know that there are things that this will happen, that will happen. But we as believers need to understand what God has said concerning us in those times as well. And actually let that be our reality. Like actually live from him as being our source, as opposed to living from fear or what else. Saying, you know, so it's possible to dwell. And I love that you've just shared all those new things started for you, because it just proves the promise of God is so true. You know, last year, a lot about this year was, is going to be, you know, new things are going to happen. Shake, changing of God, all sorts of things. And those things have actually happened. Like, things have needed to shift.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have started new things. A lot of people have taken the plunge and all of that. So that's really incredible. I love that you've started those wonderful new things. Last thing I wanted to talk about, which people may be interested in as well, I do know you have another support group.
And even just even this, the new things, even my husband as a musician has had to explore all the other things God has been talking about. So honestly, there's always something new. I think I just wanted to add that for somebody else. I was like, oh, my job, I've lost my job. There are other new things you can look at that God might be saying to you. So in terms of the support group, I have a support group called The Healing Cradle. It's called The Healing Cradle because it's really just for people that are dealing with baby loss, miscarriages, which is interesting because October is baby loss awareness month.
Wow.
And so we have a couple of things planned. And once again, it's one of those things where you're providing an avenue for people to come together to support one another. A lot of times you don't realize how many people have dealt with baby loss or miscarriage until it happens to you. And if you don't know other people it has happened to, it can be a very difficult experience to navigate. on your own, which is why the healing cradle happened. So I lost the baby 6 years ago. I started talking about it. I wrote about it. I wrote about the loss. I expressed it. And the more I did, the more I realized that many people needed to hear me talk about it, because they didn't know that they had often felt isolated in their pain and in their experiences. And so we created the Healing Cradle. And what we do is just provide support for families and women who have experienced baby loss. So, for example, last year we participated in the Global Wave of Light event, which is like a remembrance event for supporting families that have lost babies and all of that. Just letting them know that, you know what, we get your pain, we identify with you, we support you. So this year, for example, we're going to do a brunch we do regular meetings for women that are dealing with this. So before COVID happened, it would normally be like a monthly group meeting where women come together and just share in each other, encourage each other, all of that. But we haven't been able to do that this year, except virtually. So we are now back to opening outside a little bit more. So we are going to be having like more regular monthly sessions where we can come together as women just to encourage each other. And the crazy thing is that I had a few people that were pregnant with me that were due around the same time that I was. And I know at least two of them who lost their babies at birth. So it's just like, firstly, you're thinking, oh, okay, I'm grateful. But you also can't help but connect with their pain, because they've been through before.
Yeah.
And so in as much as I just want to stay in my little bubble and just, oh, I have a baby, God keeps telling me, hey, don't be, it's not just like, I need you to work. There are other daughters of mine that need the support. They need to know that, you know, they're not alone. They need to know that they'll be okay. They need to see you and see how your journey has been. So I'm always sharing stories about what happened years ago and where I am now in terms of dealing with that loss. So we're always creating ways for just to support other women that are going through this horrible loss. It's really difficult. And so it's called the Healing Cradle.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what we do. And we just support each other, honestly. We're just providing a place for every woman to know you're not alone. You survived this. Not only would you survive this, you would one day look back. Thank you, God. But I think also the most important thing is to make sure that they don't lose their faith. That grief does not send them the other way, where they're doubting God or wondering if God loves them, because those questions do come up. But so that the grief doesn't rob them of the love of God. So that's really the bottom line. And to let them know that, you know what, God has you covered, even in the midst of this pain and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, as you're saying, it's quite timely, because I've seen on social media, I think it's John Legend and Chrissy. I don't know when exactly that happened. I haven't followed it, but I guess, I think, you know, for people, I'm sure that's triggered things, you know, in terms of.
Exactly.
Before, so it's great to have a community. It sounds like, from what you described, the community is mainly, you know, I mean, when outside is open, in person and stuff. Is there like an online aspect to things, or like a virtual for people who are you know, because I guess our listeners are around the world.
Exactly, it's a global one of the things, we have an Instagram page, it's called The Healing Cradle, Healing Cradle, right? So there's that. But honestly, what we do try to encourage is for more people to just form their own support group. So I'm in Lagos, Nigeria, right? Yeah. So I would do like monthly meetings. And so somebody in Abuja is like, oh, do you know anybody that's putting this together in Abuja? And so I say to her, maybe that could be you.
Yeah.
You know? So the reason why we prefer it to be personal than virtual is because when you're chatting, it doesn't flow as much as when you can see each other, hold each other's hands, give each other hugs. So apart from the Instagram page, we don't really have other virtual options.
Yeah.
We are considering starting like a Telegram group, but that'll be after we do this year's Wave of Light. So we do have a Wave of Light event happening virtually this year on the 15th of October. So people can join from all over the world. It will be on Zoom. We're going to have a panel of other women sharing about their own journeys. And the thing is, a rainbow in the cloud. because okay. even though it's all cloudy, there is a rainbow somewhere. And, you know, babies that come after loss are called rainbow babies. So we do have that event going on. And then there'll be more that we're planning to do in terms of creating a virtual support group so that you can join, you can still connect with other women.
Mm.
And then you can also see how you as a person can also create these support groups in your area. Yeah.
That's a really good model, really wise. And yeah, send us all the details, guys. We'll share on our Instagram page. So
yeah,
have the you know, you hear from more about what Tito does and the ability to join the groups, you know, that are relevant to you. But I wanted this, as I said, there's so much to cover with you. And we've had a great time, and who knows, maybe we'll have you back.
yeah.
I would love to have you back. I'm just saying maybe because I know your schedule is, you know, this is a lot on. You know, we really have, this has been a great time just chatting through different things and what you do. And I do believe that people will be blessed, and these stories having definitely encouraged people. And for sure, I'm encouraged, I'm gingered. I'm just, because that's some of these things, no, so like, wow, God, wow, you know. But just thank you so much for the time you have spent. And I'm going to ask you to pray, because I don't ask everybody to pray, but I'm just going to ask to share a word of prayer, whatever you know the Lord is laying on your heart.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I think the main thing I just keep hearing in my spirit is the word love. I think it's hard for us to trust a God that we don't understand loves us. And this might be because, you know, we grew up in families where love wasn't present, or love was shown in a different way. The unconditional love of God is one that a lot of people can't understand. But yes. Today, Lord, I am praying that anyone who listens would be aware of how much you love them. And that because they know you love them, they can trust you. And so when you speak, they're willing to walk in obedience. They're willing to walk in faith because they know you love them, because they know that you would not leave them hanging, because they know that you would catch them even if it looks like they're going to fall. Father, may you reveal your love to them in new ways in the mighty name of Jesus. And not only will they see your love, Father, may they receive it strongly yes. today in Jesus' name. And as they receive it, they're able to walk in trust and in obedience to you, and to build a personal loving relationship with you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'm sure we'll cross paths.
I'm sure we'll be seeing each other on the other side.
But guys, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take care and God bless.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope this episode blessed you. If so, why not share it with a friend or two or three or four, and make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Feel free to also comment, share some feedback, etc. You can also follow us on social media. We're on all the major platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. On Instagram, we are Idea Talks Community. Everywhere else, we are Idea Talks. You can also head to our website, ideatalks.com. We have some great resources on there, again, about helping you just live your best life. So I encourage you to check that out. We have amazing things on there, so many wonderful things to come. Join our mailing list, etc. Take care, and God bless you.